Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chav Vav. We're learning today Le'ila Nishmas Morris Pinsky, Moshe Yaakov Ben Gedalia V'Shulamis. All the neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah. Now we're going to begin the Gemara three lines up from the top, Chav Vav Omed Aleph, and we remind ourselves yesterday we had a machlokas. Actually, there were two versions of this machlokas between Abaya and Rava. We'll spend most of the first part of the shir today on the second version, and specifically one specific part of the second version. So we'll just remind ourselves that in the case of Efshar Umechabe, when there was no alternative way, and yet you had kavana to get enjoyment from the item that was also b'hanah, so Abaya said, in this situation, the halach is that it's muteris. In other words, if it's an efshar, impossible to have gone any other way, even though you had kavana, Rav Yehuda would say that in this situation it is muteris. As opposed to Rava said, no, Rav Yehuda would never say that lekula. He only goes that we're not caring about kavana, only lechumra. But lekula, we don't go and say that. And even though it's a case of the efshar, Rav Yehuda will still say that if you had kavana, that it would be osur. So this is the basic fundamental machlokas between Abaya and Rava within the Shita of Rav Yehuda for the scenario, for the facts of Efshar Umechavi. That's how we ended off the Shia yesterday. And now we're going to question this. We have a whole bunch of questions. Is this, in fact, really the case? So we start off in saying, Omar Abaya explains, Mino Amina Law, how do I know that I'm right, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though normally a Davish Eino Miskavi is Asur, and therefore certainly a Davish Miskavin is Usr, that's only when you're dealing with Efshar, when there was an alternative. But Efshar, even Rabbi Yehuda would hold that if you're Miskavin, it's still Muteris. How do I know that that's true? Abaye says, Detanya, because it says in the following Brisa, dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, and it says, Amru Lava Rabbi Yochanan Zakai, Rabbi Yochanan Zakai said about the Beis HaMikdash, Shayoshe Bitzilo Shalhechol. Rabbi Yochanan Zakai would give Shiurim, which attracted tremendous large numbers of people, probably dealing with something we learned earlier in the Masech L'Shol, in the Dorsh of Nei HaChag Shloshim Yom, that people needed to learn the halachos of the Chag 30 days before the Chag. They were all gathered, they were going up to be Ola Regel, and therefore, he needed a huge space to go and give Shiurim. Now, there wasn't any indoor space that he could go to, so he gave it outdoors. But outdoors, it would be very hot, and therefore, he had to find a shady place. So, what better shade than by the huge walls of the Hechel? They were 100 amma tall. And therefore, he would give shiurim that the shade from the Hechel would block off this area, and therefore, people could sit comfortably while he gave this huge shiurim. So therefore, it says about Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Sheyoshe Betzilo Shel Hechel, he utilized the shade of the Hechel, V'dorish Kol Hayom Kula, and he would give these huge shiurim all day long, so people would be able to know about the halachas of the upcoming Yontif. Now, here's a case, v'ha'ocha, the little efshar, there was no alternative, there was no other place where they could sit, but umachavein, they, Baruch Hashem, enjoyed the shade, so he wanted to get this hana'ah, and Abaye says, this was perfectly permissible. So this is a case of efshar, there was no other place, and umachavein. Exactly, Abaye says, like I say, Rabbi Yehuda says it's permissible. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying the same thing, ushari, and therefore, this is my proof, Abaye says. What does Rava say to this? Rav Amar says, what are you talking about? Shiny Hechel, the Hechel is different. Why? The Letocho Asui. The Hechel was made, as Rashi says, the Letocho, it means the Ein Hanos Tzilo Neseres, the Ein Zederach Hanoso. The walls were made to protect the inside and not the outside. And therefore, this is not considered the normal way of Hanoah for the walls. The walls normally protect the inside. And here, this year, the walls are protecting people on the outside. And therefore, this is not the normal Derech of Hanoah. And therefore, we said previously that it's permissible. Tosus asks a very good question over here. And let's look at the top Tosus now. So first he explains, like Rashi says, Pirusha Kuntrish, Ve'enanos Silo Neserish Ein Zederech Hanoaso. Now he says, how come even Derech Hanoaso, even if it's not the Derech Hanoaso, it should be Osir? V'ho lo ksiv achila. V'afilu shelo k'derech Hanoi Osir. That you're not allowed to get Hanoa here has nothing to do with achila. It's something that's Osir to get Hanoa from the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we said previously, only when it says achila is it meaning Derech Hanoaso, it's Osir. But if it's not Derech Hanoason, then it's Mutter. So here it didn't say achila. So it should be Osir even if it's not the normal way. So how come over here on the outside, it's not the normal way, yet it should be Asur? So Tosu's answer, no Me'ila, is as if it's had written by it Achila. Because the Me'ila Yafinun, Chait, Chait, Mi Truma. It's learned out from Truma. And by Truma, it says, specifically, you're not allowed to eat Truma. Then Tosu says, if this is true, so how come in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in Perikol Atzlamim, it says that it's forbidden to sit underneath an Asherah tree? If you're telling me that this is not a normal way of hana, so then it should be permissible. So Gemara gives two terutzim, Tosfos gives two terutzim over here, and he says, number one, mishum d'asheru l'tzelesu. No, this is the normal purpose of an asherah tree, and this is the derech hana. This is not like the wall where it's not supposed to be giving off shade for the outside area. Here, this is what the asherah tree does. That's number one. So it is derech hana. And number two, by an asherah tree, va'ud gabi azor zara, loksiv achila. It doesn't say achila this, even if this is not the normal way, so then it's still also mishum derech hana son, and also even if it's not the derech hana asan. So therefore, the avodah zara asherah tree is different. Then the Rabbeinu Chananel says another slightly different explanation. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, he says that Rava would say over here, shiny hosam, the hechol l'socha also, it means v'en kedusha b'tzilo. There is no kedusha. You're not being moel anything over here by the shade on the outside because it's only made for the inside. So therefore, there is no me'ila on the outside. Basically, Rashi, Tosos, the Rabbeinu Chananel, all over here say the same answer for Rava, that there is no problem getting benefit from the tzeil on the outside, but you can't bring it as a raya to Abaye's version of Rav Yehuda. Rava says, I'm perfectly fine with that as well. Now Rava goes and says, here's my raya to why I say that Rav Yehuda would say in a situation of Efshor Umechabin that it's Osir. He says, why is that? Now, the girsa that we have is the Tanya, but on the side it says this is really a Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah in Midos, where it says the Tanan. Lulin hoya psuchin balias beis kotchi akadoshim. Lulin, Rashi tells us, are like a skylight, an aruba, shabaliyah, that's on the top of the beis hamikdash, hayaredis lebayis, and it goes down, there's an opening going down, and that's called a lul. So you have this open skylight on the top of the beis hamikdash, and they would lower the workers through these skylights to be able to do fixing up work inside the beis hamikdash, and they would lower them in a sort of a three-sided enclosed box, and it was only open on the fourth side, and this way they could lower the workers down, and they could work on whatever part of the Beis HaMikdash needed the fixing. And this way they wouldn't look at the rest of the inside of the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kodashim, and this way there would be no Me'ila. So that's what this Mishnah in Midos tells us, that they would have these lulin, these skylights, or open windows on the top, and Hayu Psuchin, and Balias Beis Kodesh Kodashim, and the top part of the Kodesh Kodashim. And when workers need to go and fix something, they would lower them down. They would lower them down in these boxes that were enclosed on three sides, so they couldn't see those three sides to the rest of the Beis HaMikdash inside the Kodesh Kodashim. And it was open on one side where they could do the work. And this was done. Rashi explains this lashon of yozonum is a lashon hanah, getting benefit from it. It comes like from the word kimizonos. Shemazbia atzmo. It fills you up. Mimaris noy hamlocho v'nene. From the beauty of the beautiful kotchi kadoshim. So a person would look at it with his eyes and would be satiated. So therefore, in order that this shouldn't happen, they would enclose the worker in this three-sided box and only be open on the fourth side where he has to do his work. Now, this is an example, the Gemara says, there was no alternative, and even though he had intention, and yet it says that it's also, Rabbi says, exactly like I explained, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So what would Abaye say to this? It is, bro. You really think that's why it's also over here? No, you're wrong. He says, the following, kol, umare, v'reach, these three types of hanor, from a sound, a kol, or mare is from looking at something, bereach and smelling something, ain behem mishumila. There technically is no meila in all of these things. So then why over here is there an issa of mare that the worker is going to look around? Elamala also beveis kodesh kodashim. They made a mila, they made an elevation, they made a special, unique stringency over here in regards to the kodesh kodashim that you shouldn't look at it. But min hadin, there really isn't anything usher over here. It's just a stringency. And therefore, you can't bring me a raya. Abaye would say that Rabbi Yehuda would hold in this situation that this is usher of a case of the efshor umachavi. No, there's a special stringency over here that everybody would agree with. Try again. Igad the Amre, others say that this was Rava's proof over here to his shita in Rabbi Yehuda, that in the case of efshor umachavi, the Rabbi Yehuda would still say that it's usher. So this is the version. Amar Rava, mino amin Allah, how do I know by Shita that in the case of the Efshor Mechavi that Rabbi Yehuda would say it's Asur because of the following brisa, the Tanya. Amar Mishum and Pazi, Amar Mishum and Levi, Mishum and Kapari. Again, the same Mandi Amars, he said it over, but a slightly different version, who say over here, Kol, Umar, Vareach, and Behem Mishum Me'ila. They said that there is no Me'ila over here. However, Me'ila hu deleka ha Isura Ika. While there's no Me'ila, it's still Asur. So here it says, Befeirish, that it's Asur. And assuming that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda as well, so therefore it's a case of the Kohanim and the Levim that are standing inside and they're getting hana over here, Yafshur, they have to be doing the avoda, so they can't leave, so it's Yafshur, and yet it says that they're machabing to get hana over here, and it tells us that it's asur, it may not be me'ila, but it's an isura ika, and here it's a case of the lo Yafshur, the ka machabing for asur. Rabbi says, this is my shita, Rabbi Yehuda. So how would Abai respond to this? Abai says, no, it's not talking about the people that are inside. It's talking about la'osun om de mechutz. It's the people standing outside. For them, it's not a yefsher. Go away. If you're getting hana over here, so walk away, leave. And therefore, you won't get hana. So you can't bring miraya, Abai says, to what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. And we're left saying that Rabbi Yehuda, according to Abai, says it's muteres. And Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi, says it's asur in the case of yefsher umechabein. Agmor is going to discuss what we just said, Gufa. Go back to discuss this statement that Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishum Bakapar. And he said, Kol Umar Varech, Ein Behem Mishum Ila, they don't have Me'ila. Both the first and second version agreed in that respect that it says that they don't have Me'ila. Gmor questions this and says, Vareach, Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila, smelling something that it belongs to Hekdish, doesn't have a din of Me'ila to it? But I'll show you that that's not true. Vatani, we learned in a Braisa, Hamafate Mesaketores Lislamidba. If a person makes the Pita Maktores, right? We say every morning, those that have the custom to say it in the morning, both Ashkenaz and Sfarad, both have the custom to say it, albeit in maybe different points in the davening. It's a very important part of the Tefillah. So when you say the Pita Maktores, whereas if we made the Pita Maktores, that's why it says, if a person makes any mistake in saying it, so it's a terrible thing. You have to be very careful in how you say it properly. That's why some don't say it every day, because of this concern that they're not going to say it with a proper kavanah, proper understanding, or mispronouncing it, and they're going to kiilu chayv misa. In any event, it says there in the Pita Maktores that there are the 11 ingredients of the Pita Maktores. So if somebody wants to make the Pita Maktores, he goes and makes the Ketores, but his purpose is lislamibo, to learn how to do it. Or olamosra letzibor, he's baking it and then he's going to give it over to the tzibor to use as the ketores. So in this situation, he doesn't get kares. There's an iser. The Torah tells us to go and make ketores like they did in the Beis Hamikdash. Normally, is involving an iser of kares. However, that's only if you're doing it for your own personal benefit, as we'll see in a second. But if you're doing it to either learn how to do it, you're practicing how to be able to do it for the Beis Hamikdash, or you're actually giving it over to the Beis Hamikdash, so then you're not chayiv kares potter. There is no iser of kares over here. Machlokus amongst the poskim, what does this potter mean in this situation? Are you allowed to do this, or is potter of a lawsuit? In any event, lo riachbo, but if you're doing this because you want to smell the beautiful aroma of the ketores, then chayit, that's an iser of kares. Then he tells us, by the way, vame riachbo, if you go to the Beis HaMikdosh and you go and smell the ketores, potter. In this situation, you are potter from the din of kares. However, Eloshemoal, it says that you're over Mila. So how can you tell us, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, that kol umar vereyach and smell ein ba Mishum Mila? Here it says beferish that there is Mila. If you go inside the Beis HaMikdash and intend to smell the ketores, you're over Mila. So Gemara says, Elom Rav Papa says, no. You have to re-understand this statement that they made in the name of bar Kapara. Kol umare ein ba Mishum Mila. Kolin Ma'ara, listening to something, the sound, or the appearance of something, that doesn't have Me'ila. If you're getting Hana from a sound or an appearance in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Me'ila in that situation. And the reasoning is, Lefisha Ein Bohem Mamish, there's no substance over here. It's pure ethereal type of a pleasure. There's nothing substantive. However, V'reyach, Reach has substance to it. However, V'reyach Li'acha Sha'atala Timroso, once the incense is actually burned, so its mitzvah is completed. The mitzvah was to burn the Pita Maketores, to go and make the Ketores on fire. So therefore, once that is done, we have a rule, Ein bo mishum me'ila ho'ol v'nasis mitzvah so. So there's no me'ila here, not because it's not substantive, but because the mitzvah is completed. And in general, the Beis HaMikdash, when a mitzvah is completed, there is no longer a potential for me'ila. We had this the other day when we talked about the blood that went down the Amma to the valley, the Nachal Kidron, and it was used by the farmers there, and he said if they didn't pay for it, they would be over Mi'ila. We said it's only Mi'ila the Rabban, because Mi'ila the Raisa, once the Zrika was done, so technically there's no more Mi'ila on the Dam. So it's only Mi'ila the Rabban in that situation. So we see over here that once the mitzvah is done, once the Ketores is burned, so then Ein bo mishum Mi'ila, because the mitzvah was completed. That's what Papa's Teretz. Gemara says that implies, Lameimra, the Kol Hecho, the Nasis Mitzvah, so in any situation where the mitzvah is done, Ain't b'mishum me'ila, there is no me'ila, but I'll show you an example where that's not true. V'arei trumas ha'deshen, now every day they were said to be taking off from the ashes from on top of the mizbeach from the previous day's korbanos. They would take off some of that deshen and they would place it next to the mizbeach, and a miracle occurred and it was swallowed up. So this is called the trumas ha'deshen, taking off the ashes from the top of the mizbeach. This was one of the early avodas every morning in the Beis HaMikdash. So it says, v'harei trumas ha'deshen, in regards to the trumas ha'deshen, now when they took it off the top of the mizbeach, the mitzvah was done. The nasis mitzvaso, the mitzvah was completed. Nevertheless, v'yesh bo mishum mi'ila, there still is mi'ila, because he says, d'chsiv v'samo eitz ha'mizbeach, you have to place it next to the mizbeach, and the reason for that is, shelo yifazer, that it shouldn't get all separated and spread out all over the place, and it says, v'samo eitz ha'mizbeach, so to be, shelo yehane, because you're not going to get hanav from it. So here it says, b'feirish, even though nasis mitzvaso, it's still aser mi'ila. So kash on Rabbi Papa said, Smor says, no, this is unique over here. You can't learn this out to a general statement that any place where the mitzvah is done, it's still chayiv me'ila, because this is mishum, the havu truma sedeshin, this is mitzvah of truma sedeshin, and also the concept of the big day kahuna not being allowed to be used again on Yom Kippur, even though the mitzvah of Yom Kippur was done, it still has an isser of me'ila attached to it. This is a special unique situation. This is shnei k'suvim bo'im ke'echad. These are two separate psukim telling us the same idea, that there still is me'ila after the avoda has been done, and you can't learn this out as a general rule to every place else, because we have a rule, v'chol shnei k'suvim bo'im ke'echad. If you wanted to tell me a general rule, just tell it to me in one place, and then through what we call a binyanav, through a general categorization, we would say, just like the Torah said over here, this is the halacha is every place else. So if the Torah tells it to me in only one place, you can learn it out to every place else. But once the Torah specifies it in two places, so why did it have to tell me two places? Oh, the chol shnei k'suvim, a boy in kechad, if they're coming to teach me the same thing, ain't malamed them. You can't generalize it and learn it out to anything else. So we have two dinim over here that tell me that after the mitzvah was done, there still is me'ila, and therefore I can't generalize it to say always after the mitzvah is done, there's still me'ila, and therefore, in our case, after the reyach of the pita maktoris goes up, so you can't tell me that there still is me'ila because of this rule. No. Once the mitzvah is done, ain bo mishum me'ila hol v'nasis mitzvaso. And here we have one of the shnei k'suvim bo'im ke'echad, trumas ha'deshen, big day kahuna, that they're the exceptions to the rule. And the reyach that comes up after the pita maktoris, that is the general rule. Here are the two exceptions to the rule, and that's the general rule. What are the two exceptions? Trumas ha'deshen, big day kahuna. So this is kol shnei k'suvim bo'im ke'echad, ein malamed. Trumas ha'deshen, od yamar. We said, v'samo eitz ha'mizbeach. That's how we know that trumas ha'deshen was the exception to the rule. Where do you find the big day kahuna that are used in Yom Kippur, the four regular garments that the Kohen Gadol wears, not the special eight garments that he wears, but when he goes lefnai v'lefnim, he wears the linen garments. So those linen garments aren't allowed to be used again next year for the Kohen Gadol inside lefnai v'lefnim in the Beis HaMikdash. Big day kahuna, where do we see that? They'll say, v'nicham sham, you have to put him down over there. Melamed shetunim geniza, that they're not allowed to be used again, they require geniza. Oh, so this is the other exception to the rule, and we have two exceptions to the rule. Kol shnei k'suvim bo'im ke'echad, ein malamed them, you can't generalize that out, and therefore they are exceptions to the rule and not the rule. Gemara says, okay, that's great if you hold the following way. This works out well if you hold that the pasuk when it says v'nicham sham comes to teach us that it requires geniza. Oh, then we have the shnei k'suvim bo'im ke'echad. But if you hold like Rabbi Dosa, el Rabbi Dosa, the polygalai, who disagrees with this drasha, that when it says v'nichum sham, it means that you can't use them again. What does Rabbi Dosa learn this out from? He says, d'amar, avo ru'i nein l'koin hejo. It means the koin gadol can't use them again next year, but this is a regular four garment, linen four garments, that a regular koin hejo can use them. When it means v'nichum sham, it means that the koin gadol can't use them again, but a koin hejo can. So there is no me'ila. Umay v'nichum sham shelo yishtamish ben b'yom kippur machad. That next year on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol can't use it. So a regular Kohen can use it. So there's no me'ila. Ma'ikla meimar. So now we only have one pasuk when it says v'samo eitz ha'mizbeach by trumas ha'deshen to tell me that even though its mitzvah was done, there still is me'ila. So this should be a binyanav. We should be able to learn this out across the board. And therefore, it's not shnei k'suvim bo'im ke'echad, it's one kasuv that comes to teach me a binyanav, that every time, even though the avoda was done, there still is me'ila. So too, in the case of the pita maktoris, there still should be me'ila, kashon rapapa. Shmuel says, no. Mishum dahavu trumas ha'deshen v'egla rufa shnei k'suvim bo'im ke'echad. No, because we have another one, you're right. According to Rabbi Dosa, we only have one kasuv if you just have the Trumas Hadeshen. But there's another kasuv by Egla Rufa. It tells us by Egla Rufa the same thing, that even though the mitzvah was done, there still is Me'ilah. So that's Shteik Suvim Bon Kiechad, and therefore these are the two exceptions to the rule, and therefore Pita Maktoris is not an exception to the rule, and Pita Maktoris, once the mitzvah is done, you're allowed to get Hanor from the Reyach. So this, Trumas Hadeshen, Egla Rufa, Shteik Suvim Bon Kiechad, Ein Melamdim. So now the Gemara says, that's great, again, Honich Laman Diomer, Ein Melamdin. That's great, there's a machlokis. Do you need two or three psukim haboim keachot to be melamdin or not melamdin? So according to the Man Diomer, it says, Shnei Ksuvim boim keachot, Ein Melamdin. That works out great. Honich Laman Diomer, Ein Melamdin. El Laman Diomer, Melamdin. But according to the Man Diomer, it says, two ksuvim can still be melamdin. It's only you have shlosha ksuvim boim keachot, Ein Melamdin. Michael and Amar, what are you going to say in that situation? Now, the Gemara could have given the Teretz that this man the Yama holds that you have three Ksuvim Boim Kiechot. You have Trumas Hadeshen, you have Egla Rufa, and you also have the Big Day Kahuna. So you do have three Psukim Boim Kiechot. And therefore, everybody agrees to Ein Melamdin. But the Gemara wants to work it out that even if you agree with Rabbi Dosa, and there's only two Ksuvim Boim Lamed, according to the man the Yama, it says Shnei Ksuvim Boim Lamed, how come this is not a general rule that we make to every place else? And the Gemara says that this is a miut. Both of these are miutim over here. So even according to the Man Diomer, it says Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Melamdin. Nevertheless, over here it's not Melamdin because you have two specific extra words in regards to both the Trumas Hadeshen and the Egla Rufa that tell us not to be Melamidit. They're miutim that are hidden here as well. Tre miute ksive. What are the two miutim? Instead of saying Visam Eitz Al HaMizbeach, it says Visamo you shall put it next to the Mizbeach, it and nothing else is going to have the din of after its mitzvah, it still has Me'ilah. So V'samo Eitz Al Mizbeach is an extra word. So therefore that's a miut, telling us this and nothing else. And likewise by Egla Rufa, it doesn't say Egla Rufa, it says Egla Ha'arufa. The extra hay tells us this Egla doesn't have the normal din that after the Melacha is done, it's no longer Mo'il. No, here it still has Me'ilah after the mitzvah is done. So this is a miut. Both by Trumas Hadeshen and by Egla Rufa, we have miutim to tell us not to be melamed to any place else. So therefore, even according to the Man D'Yomer, it says, Shnei Ksuvim Aboyim Melamdin, there are two exceptions over here to that. The Tre Miute telling us not to learn it out to a general rule, and therefore the default position is that after the mitzvah is done, there is no Me'ilah. I know it was a little bit complicated, but Be'ezus Hashem, I hope it was clear. Now the Gemara continues. Back again to a machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Again, Abaye says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that when it's Yev Shur Mechavin, that it's Muteris. And Rava holds Yev Shur Mechavin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not Muteris. It's Oseris. And we'll try to bring a riot to this Rava's position again. Where is this from? Hichnisa Lirvaka. We're talking here about an Egla Rufa. Now, an Egla Rufa is very similar to Paraduma in some of its dinim. And in fact, it's Xer Shava, all that we learn out in the Gemara and Sota that Rashi brings down on the Omid Beis to compare the two. Now, in regards to both of them, you're not allowed to do work with either the Egla Rufa or with a Paraduma. If it has work done to it, it can't function as either the Egla Rufa or as a Paraduma. So now, if you have a little baby Egla Rufa and you want to have it nursed from its mother. Its mother is busy pulling a plow. So, hichniso l'rivaka, you attach this little baby calf to the team of oxen over here, to the cows that are plowing. Hichniso l'rivaka, you put it into the collection of cows. There are four cows that normally are threshing here together. So you put the little baby in with these other four cows, vidasha, and this baby's attached, so it also helps a little bit to do the threshing over here. Kshera. This isn't considered work because this is an example of Efshar. The little baby has to go suckle from its mother cow, and therefore Efshar, there was no alternative choice, and you're not interested in a little bit that this little baby cow is eating over here, so it's lo mechavin. So therefore, it's kshev according to everybody. Now, if, however, you say, listen, I could get a little extra power over here in the threshing by having this little baby cow over here too. So if you're doing it, I want the cow to suckle its little baby. But by the way, the baby will help a little bit, and will give a little extra power and do the threshing a little bit better. In this situation, pesula. Then, even though this is a case of the F short, but since it's mechavein, it's asur. Now here, the left shul mechavein, what do you see? Uktani pesula, it's no good, you've ruined it. Rabbi says this is a raya to my understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that when it's e'efshar u'mechavin, it's oseris, it's psula, and therefore I'm right. The Tosfos points out that you could have answered over here that this is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and Abaye doesn't have anything to worry about. But let's assume that we're talking here even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, shiny awesome. Here, even Abaye would say that it's psula because the chsiv asher lo ubad ba. It says that no work shall be done to it. It doesn't make a difference whether it was with kavana or without kavana. Over here, no work is allowed to be done to it. So therefore, in this situation, it is going to be forbidden. It's psula once it has work done to it, intentionally or unintentionally. And it's no riot to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabba. Of course, if that's true, then it doesn't make any difference whether it was intentional or not intentionally. So then afilu reishanami. So then the first case here, we said that it was shari, but it also did dosh. So even though in the first case we said you had no intention for it to do dosh, but now you're telling me that it doesn't make any difference. The puzzle says asher lo uvadba means anyway, whether it was intentional or not intentional. So how come in the second case we say it's psula, and the first case we say it's shari? The first case should also be no good. Yehochi afilu reisha nami should be no good. We turn to the Omid Beis, and the Gemara says, holo dam yoel alaha. Rashi says this is a teretz, tirutzuhu, that this comparison over here, why in the first case is it permissible when he didn't have intention? He just wanted it to suckle. He didn't care about the dosh. And the second case is also because he also, besides suckling, he also wanted it to go and help dosh. So just like over there, we make a distinction. We learn that out from paraduma. We make a distinction. And holodam yalala, it's comparable to the following case with paraduma, where it says, shochan oleh o'of. Again, the paraduma is not allowed to have any work done to it. So if a bird goes and lands on the back of your paraduma, kishera, it doesn't ruin it. Even though the bird is now sitting on the back of the cow is, so to say, carrying the bird, it's doing work with the bird. Nevertheless, kishera, that doesn't ruin it for being a paraduma. It's not called asher lo ala aleha ol. It doesn't consider that it had on it work. Now, ala aleha zocha, but if you have a male go and you assist the male to mate with the female paraduma, so then psula, then this female paraduma is no longer eligible to be a paraduma because asher Allah aleha ol. It had work done with it, and therefore there's a difference. Now, how come with the bird going on it, it's considered kishera, and the male going on it, it's not considered kishera? So this teretz that we're going to give over here is going to be the same teretz for the egla rufa. How come in the first case, when you didn't want the little baby to do dosh just to suckle, it's kosher, but if you wanted the baby to suckle and do dosh, so then it's no good. So the two are comparable. In what way? My timer, because it says, I'm a papa. A papa explains, look at the way the pasuk spells it, asher lo uvad ba. Iksiv ovad, ukrinan ovad, if it had been pronounced ovad, ayin veiz dalid, and spelled ovad, so then we would know, it means ad da ovid ba iu, that you intentionally did work with it. However, it didn't say that. Now, iksiv ubad with ayin vav beis dalid, then the karinan ubad, and it's spelled and pronounced ubad, that would tell me, mimela, I feel mimela nami. However the work was done, it's osur. But it didn't say ovad, ovad. It didn't say uvad, uvad. It's spelled ovad and pronounced ubad. Ah. Hashdo d'chsiv ovad, it's spelled ovad, but we pronounce it, the karinan ubad, we have the best of both worlds. We learn both. So, ubad dumya d'ovad, it means work that happened to it, but only if you're happy about that work happening to it. Ma ovad, just like with ovad, you did it, the nichole, you're happy with it. So to ubad, even though it occurred by itself, so to say, it only is going to aser the egla rufa or the paraduma if it's the nichole. So now we understand both the first and second cases by the egla rufa and the paraduma. In the first case of egla rufa, it was, yes, work done to it in that it was dosh, but you didn't want it. So it was not ovad, ubad. It was ubad, it, work was done to it, but not in a way that you're happy about it. The second case was where you wanted it to suckle, but you also wanted dosh, so then it was work that was done to it, and you're happy about it. Similarly over here, when the bird lands on the back of the paraduma, you don't want that, so therefore you're not happy about it. So therefore, it's not ubad, it's just happening to it, but it's not ubad, that is ovad, that you want it. But when you want the male to go and mount on the female, and you're happy with the result, so therefore, that's ubad, that is ovad, and therefore, In that situation, it's asur. So we understand how one case is mutter, one case is asur, one case is good, and one case is not, both by the egla rufa and the paraduma. Now the Gemara tries again to give us a raya to Rava's understanding of Rav Yehuda, Toshma, from the following. Aveda, if you are picking up an aveda in the street from somebody else, it's a garment. So, lo yishtechena, you're not allowed to stretch it out, lo agabi mita, on a bed, lo agabi magud, not on some sort of a hook or a peg or a nail like in the wall. Now, this is true when it's litzorko, for his personal benefit. In other words, he now has this rich fur coat, and he's stretching it out over the bed to keep it nice and clean, or he's putting it up on a hook on the wall, a peg on the wall, but he's showing to everybody, look, I own this fur coat. So he's getting benefit from doing this. So therefore, you're not allowed to do this, because you're not doing this to air out the garment or to keep the garment nice and clean. You're doing this to show everybody you have a rich garment. However, if you're doing this because this garment needs to be aired out, if you don't air out this garment, it's going to get ruined. So then, if you're doing it for the benefit of the garment, so the person who lost it isn't losing his value of this garment, for the benefit of the garment, you stretch it out over the bed, or you put it up on a hook, on a peg on the wall, so that is allowed. What happens, however, if guests come to your house, even though you're doing it for the needs of this garment, is if you have guests coming to the house, then you're not allowed to do this even though you're doing it for the benefit of the garment. And certainly if you're doing it for your own benefit. So therefore, it says, if you have guests coming over, whether you're doing it for the benefit of the garment or you're doing it for your own benefit, it's also to do so. Now here's the raya to Rava's understanding of Yehuda. Here's EF sharp. You don't have any other choice. You got to air it out. And yet, if you're getting kavana to get benefit from it, it's also to do so. Exactly what Rava says. This is exactly like my understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. What would Abaye say? So Abaye says, shiny hasam. Again, this is different. You know why? Because here, the reason that you're not allowed to stretch it out in front of the guests is because the kalila, it's as if you're burning it. It's, in other words, as if you're destroying it. Why not? Two reasons why not. Because this person is going to say, whoa, he's such a rich guy. What does he do to deserve such a garment? Oh, terrible thing. And therefore, that's giving an ayin hara, an inabisha. And in other words, it's going to cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make this garment get destroyed. And therefore, you're indirectly causing this garment to get destroyed because of the Ein Abisha. As Rashi says, the Bishtricha Zu, with this stretching it out, Kalilo, you're causing it to be burned. Kalomar, Ma'avdu B'Yadayim, it's as if you're destroying it with your hands. Imishon Ein Abisha, because the people will see this and now it will cause, however an Ayin Hara works, that this should become destroyed. Or alternatively, the second tariff is Imishum Ganve. You now have shown to everybody that you have this fur coat. So this guest that came over is going to scheme and figure out how he can go steal this from you. And that's what Rashi says. Imishum Duma Orchin Ganve Ninu. Maybe these Orchim are going to be Ganavs, but Ganvila, and they're going to steal it. So you cause this directly with your hands by putting it out when Orchim come, either through Ayin Hara or through actual Geneva. Now, we don't have a raya one way or the other. Abaye and Rava are both okay, according to the second version in our discussion from yesterday. And that was, again, on the point of Rabbi Yehuda, what would he say in the case of Ef Shom Chavin? But now we're going to go and discuss the first version, where they were arguing, according to Rabbi Shimon, in a case where something was Efshar, you could have gone another way. However, Lo Mechavin. And there, we had a machlos between Abaye and Rava. Abaye said it's muteris because he holds. Rabbi Shimon always says, if you have no chavana, if you have no intention, davar she'en miskavein is always mutter. But Rava says, no, in that situation where it was you had an alternative way, efshar, so then even Rabbi Shimon would say, even though it's a davar she'en miskavein, you would be chayiv. So that's Rava's position. And now we're going to slug it up. Toshma, we bring a right for the following. People that would sell garments always have to be concerned about kilayim, about shatness in the garments. So mochri ksus, if you're selling garments, so you don't know if it has kilayim in it or not, you tell the person, if you buy it, you got to go check for shatness, like we do today. You go into a store, they usually don't say it's pre-checked for shatness. They say, buyer beware, you got to check it for shatness. So when you're trying it on, how are you allowed to wear it? So mochri ksus, mochri kidarkan. So when people are selling this, you're allowed to go and sell it in the normal way, either that they model it and they put it on, or that you try it on. So you're allowed to do that, even though you're getting some hanok from it theoretically. So you're allowed to sell it in a normal way. That's the basic din, as long as you're not cold and you're going into the store to go and wear it because you're cold or because it's raining and you're going to put it on for the rain, something like that. In the hot summer months, that you're putting it on to protect yourself from the sun, you shouldn't get a sunburn. And you're not putting it on in the winter to protect yourself from the cold or from the rain. So therefore, you're allowed to technically do this. But there is an alternative way. Batsnui, the people that are zohir in mitzvos, people that are careful about their mitzvos, mafshilin liachareim b'makel, they put like a hanger behind them, and they put it up over the back to see if the size is roughly right, but they don't actually wear it. So here there's efshar, there's a way to get around the shatness problem. Don't wear it. Just try it on in this fashion by putting it on this hook that you put behind you to see if it roughly covers your back and fits you, and therefore you don't have to actually wear the kilayim. So therefore, v'ha'acha, the Gemara says, here's yikashan rava, v'ha'acha the efshar, there was an alternative way to do it. L'mevat kitzduin, go and do it like the tzduim did with this hook. And yet it says, as long as you don't have kavanah to be miskavin in the chama, m'nei chama, and the gesham, m'nei geshamim, it's mutter. V'chilo m'chavin shari, even if you are doing this, but you don't have intention to go get benefit, you just want to try it on. And there's efshar, you could have done it like the tzduim, so it's a case of efshar, but lo m'chavin, so Abaye says, Rabbi Shimon says it's permissible, but Rabbi Shimon says it's asur. Kashan Rava Tiyufta Laman Demiste Lishna Kama the Rava. This is a Tiyufta according to the first version of Rava. And Gemara says Taka, you're right, Tiyufta. There's no way to get around that. Now we quote the Mishnah. This is all the way back at the beginning of the parak, and Daf Chaf Aleph. And the Mishnah says that Lo Yasik Bo Vuchule. We said that with the chametz that you're supposed to get rid of, you're not allowed to get hanah from it. You're not allowed to go and fire up a tanur v'chirayim. Can't use the chametz to go heat up a oven. Mar starts off and says, Tanur Rabban, and we learned in a braisa, Tanur shisiko b'klipi arlo. If you lit a oven with fire that was made from something that was also banah, the klipi, the peels of arlo, so arlo is forbidden with hanah, or you took obikashin, you took pieces of straw, shokilayakarim, of kilayim akarim, which is also banah, and now you heated up this oven. So it depends. If it's chadash, if it's a brand new oven, so you're really firing it up and making it sturdy, so then you touch. Now this oven is forever going to have the isser of the arlo or the isser kilayim built into it because you fired it up and made it a fully firm and fired up, ready to use oven. So therefore, chadash, a new oven, is no longer able to be used. You touch, you have to break it. There's no way to get out the isser from inside of it. However, as yashin, if it's already been fired up, so you're not really benefiting the oven itself from the fire, so you're only benefiting from the heat, so just let it cool off, yutzan, and then you can go and heat it up again with permissible, flammable material, and then you can cook inside of it, not a problem. So it depends whether it's chadosh or yashin. Chadosh yutatz, yashin yutzan. However, whether it was chadosh or yashin, and you went and cooked at the same time, bread in it, you baked in it bread, off of boas hapas, so now, Rabbi Omer HaPasasura, Rabbi says that this bread is osur because it has the isser of the arlo or the kilayim baked into this bread. Rashi explains, Kishavuka kinegdo shekol shoy shoy sapas betano hayadole ka'or, that this arlo or kilayim was constantly on fire the entire time that the bed was baked. Vofeyu shayanenim in isser bisha shay isser be'en, and you're benefiting from the isser of either the arlo, the klipi arlo, or the kashin shokilaya kerem the entire time they were in existence. You're benefiting from it while the bread is baking. So Rabbi Omer HaPasasura, Rabbi says the pas is a surah. The reasoning is Rashi says the shvach eitzei isser bepas, because you have the shvach of the klipi arlo or the kashin shokilaya kerem that are inside this bread. The bread was made and improved with isser, and therefore Rabbi Omer HaPasasura. On the other hand, Chachamim Rimapas Muteris. Chachamim hold that the pas is permissible. Why? Because they say ein shvach eitzei bepas mamish. They said that the actual isser is not in the bread. It's just the heat that came from the isser that's in the bread. And therefore, v'adin, the less lunami chadosh yutatz, and therefore the same thing would apply with the oven. It's not the isser that's in the oven. It's the heat that resulted from the isser that's in the oven. Ella, even a new oven, yutzan, all you have to do is let it cool off. V'hachi aminon bishmaisa. That's what we're going to say in a moment. But let's first finish off the first brisa. It then says, bishla agabi gecholim. But if you made this bread over coals, gecholim, from these forbidden items, then kuliyama, diri yakol mutter. Then everybody agrees that there's no actual isser inside this because the coals were the original isser and they turned from the original isser of the klipe arlo or the kashin shokilaya karim into gecholim. So now the gecholim will change and therefore the gecholim won't make the bread osir. Diri yakol mutter. Now, there's another brisa that says, Votanya ben chadosh ben yoshon yutsan. The second brisa says, even if it's chadosh, it's allowed to just be cooled off. So how come the first brisa said that if it's a new oven, if it's chadosh, yutatz? Second brisa says if it's chadosh, it's allowed to just be yutzan. You just have to cool it off. Gemara says that's no problem, lo kasha. The first brisa is Rabbi's opinion, like we said. the shvach of the kelim are in the oven. Therefore, it has to be yutatz. And the second brisa are rabbanan. They say, no, there's no real actual isser inside. It's just the heat that resulted from the isser, and therefore, it's enough to have yutzon. Gemara doesn't like this, however. Gemara says, Eimer d'shamas lele Rebbe, when did Rebbe say that the bread is osur, mishum d'ye shvach etzim apas, like I pointed out from Rashi, because you have the actual isser of the etzim, the klipe orla, or the kashi shokilai karim, in the bread, because it was cooking constantly over them, as Rashi had pointed out. So therefore, the actual isser, so to say, is in the bread. However, by the oven over here, when you use the oven the next time, it's going to have the isser inside of it, but then it's also going to have heat from the new flammable material that you're making. As Rashi points out, the next time you're going to bake bread in it, the name says pas and nefes bo nigmeris ayde isser veheter. The isser is atze isser shagamru basataner, that which fired up the oven. The atze heter shagamru sapas, the next time you put in new firewood, vahecha shamina lady osser Rebbe. Where do we find the Rebbe says zev zegorm is osser? So why would Rebbe say that you have to go and destroy the oven? So that's not a good teretz to say that the first brisa is Rebbe and the second brisa is the Chachamim. So Gemara says, you're right, Elo Kasha. The reconciliation is, Hor Rebbe Eliezer, the first brisa, which says Zeb is a Gorim, that's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. And the second brisa, the opinion of the Rabbanan, all you have to do is let it be Yutzan. You don't have to have Yutots like Rebbe Eliezer, because Rebbe Eliezer holds Zeb is a Gorim is Osir. And the Rabbanan says Zeb is a Gorim is Mutu. So therefore, all you have to do is let it be Yutzan. Now the Gemara says, where do we see this din of Rebbe Eliezer? Hey, Rebbe Eliezer, where do we see that Rebbe Eliezer holds Zev Zagorm is Osir? Elam, you're going to tell me Rebbe Eliezer the Sar. If you're telling me it's the Rebbe Eliezer regards to Sar, certain type of leaven, the strong type of chametz, titnan, because we have a Mishnah in Arla that tells us, Sar shel chulin v'shel truma. If you have a Sar, you have the chametz of chulin and truma, shenaflu l'tochi, so they fell into a dough. And this dough now became chametz because the combination of the sar of chulin and the sar of truma. Now, a sar of truma would mean that this whole dough has to be treated as truma. So, but the scenario here is that you only had a half of a shear of sar of chulin, and the other half was the shear of truma. So you didn't have a full shear to go and make this dough a sourdough, to go and make this dough chametz. So how do we view this in this situation? So do we say when they combined together and made this dough into a chametz tika dough? How do we view it? So Rebbe Eliezer Omer Achar Achron Aniba. He says the last one that fell in, whichever it is, whether it was the truma or the chulin, is going to determine the status of this dough. So if the last one that fell in was chulin, then anybody can eat it. If the last one that fell in was truma, only kohanim can eat it. That's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Seems to be saying zeh v'zeh gorim. Oh, the Chacham Amrim, no. Bein shenof alisa lechatchila, in some of the gears on the side, not lechatchila, but bitchila in the beginning. Or, bein shenof alisa b'sof. Doesn't make a difference whether the truma, which we call isra over here, because it's going to make it forbidden to anybody but a kohen. So, whether the truma fell in first, and then the chulin, or whether the chulin fell in second. You had the truma fall in first, and then the chulin, doesn't make any difference. Bein shenof alisa lechatchila, bein shenof alisa b'sof. La'ola meina oser. The Chacham say, it's not going to be oser. We turn to the Oman Aleph. Until you have enough, a full shear of either truma or the chulin. Then it's going to be, if it's a full shear of truma, so then it's going to be chametz. But if you only had a half of a shear, it's not. Now, on this, Yom Rabaye, lo shanu ela shekodem v'sile kesa iser. In this situation, we said that Rebbe Eliezer only says that a Yisrael is allowed to go and eat this mixture if you remove the truma before the chulin fell in, before the chulin sorah fell in. If you didn't remove the truma first, again, we call the truma isser because it makes it osser for a zar, for a non-kohen, then it's still osser. Oh, what do you see? Abaye says, Amozev zegor moser, that according to Rebbe Eliezer, you have a case over here where you have a half of a shear of isser and a half of a shear of heter, zeh v'zeh gorim, and yet we call it osur. So this is the first brisa, is the opinion, yutatz, you have to go and destroy the chadosh tanur, because it will always have in it some of the isser, even though you're now adding good heter, flammable stuff. The original firing up of this oven was made from isser, so it's a case of zeh gorim, and it's osur. This is, hey, Rebbe Eliezer, this is the Rebbe Eliezer that we're talking about. Now the Gemara is not going to like this teretz. And the Gemara says, "Umimai the time the Rebbe Eliezer ki Abaye." Who says that Rebbe Eliezer's reasoning is over here like Abaye says that you have to go and kidem the silek as a iser? Maybe Dilma time of the Rebbe Eliezer Mishum the Achar Achron and Ibar. No, you just go after the last one. Lo Shno Kadam Vesilik Hazisa, Lo Shno Lo Kadam Vesilik Hazisa. It doesn't make any difference whether you took out the Truma that fell in first or not. And therefore, Abu Bavas Achas, if they both fell in at the same time, Hochanami the Sharia would be good. Maybe he only holds it's going after the last one. But if they came in simultaneously, he wouldn't hold like that. And therefore, Rebbe Eliezer, this opinion of Rebbe Eliezer is not necessarily the opinion that says you have to go and break the oven. The first brisa, Chodosh Yutatz. So this isn't the Rebbe Eliezer. So Mitzvah Shem, and tomorrow's Shir, we're going to tell us, Ella Rebbe Eliezer, the Atzei Asherah. We're going to say that it's the Rebbe Eliezer of a different Rebbe Eliezer dealing with Atzei Asherah. Mitzvah Shem, you come back tomorrow, and we'll get the Teretz. With this, we conclude today's Shir.